So this week the census data came in, and what I heard on the radio and what I saw in the online things that I followed up later is that the first time in Australian history, Christians are the minority, statistically speaking, or officially. The census data, it shouldn't shock us to know that less people are identifying with Christianity. It doesn't shock me, and it doesn't scare any of us. It's all understandable. But the Western world, it speaks to something, the trajectory of our Western civilization, doesn't it? That we're on a path away from God, not towards God. The Western world, at least if you listen to the media, wants to see itself as progressive. Progressive, that's right. Forward thinking, it didn't sound right when I said that out loud. That's the word I want to use, but it just didn't sound right when it came into my own ears. Wants to think itself as forward thinking, able to do life apart from its Christian foundation that it has employed for almost 2,000 years now. Humanism is the new head of counsel in our society. Humanism says, let's move forward. We have a wisdom that comes from mankind that is apart from God. We don't need him. In fact, it's stupid of us to think that he even is real or has any say in what we do. Humanism is the new head of counsel for our society. It's not new, but it's a wisdom that's being employed in our world that offers, here's what it offers. If you go to the Humanism Australian website, here's things that it offers. Offers progress. And it's confident that it can lead the world into a bright future. It is the wisdom of mankind apart from God. Apart from God. But I want to ask, so our Western society is firing God, if you like. But I want to ask the question, what if God was to reapply for the position? What if he was to submit a resume and asked us to reconsider? And just as a society and even individually, what would God put on that resume? Well, wisdom is personified in Proverbs chapter 8 as a woman. And I think that it's as if God is putting forward a resume. We could treat it like that. And woman wisdom, as she's described in Proverbs chapter 8, she cries out to everybody to listen. So the first thing we see in verses 1 to 11 is wisdom's pitch. And she says, notice me, notice me. She's not trying to hide at all. You can see, let me read to you from verse 1. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. You see, she's crying out, I'm here. I'm not hiding. I'm in full view. Her voice is loud. She's not soft. She's not that quiet little child that doesn't really want to be heard. No, she's loud. She's boisterous. And she's everywhere from the most visible points. It says in the high places. So she's not in the crevices, hiding behind rocks or in trees. She's in the most prominent places, ready to be seen. And it says she's at the intersections, at the crossroads of life, maybe where you make decisions. Do I go forward? Do I go left, right, or go backwards? Wisdom is right there yelling out, listen to me. I've got advice for you. I can show you which way to go. And at the busy place of society, at the entrance place, going into the city and out of the city where all the business is being done, this is where wisdom is. Wisdom is right there and wants you to pay attention. She says, notice me. And as she cries out, her cry ought to be a song to everyone who values truth. Verses 4 to 9, but let's pick up at verse 6. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. Now, I was thinking about this verse, and I remembered that there's one thing that I can't stand having in my mouth, and it's the taste of cloth in my mouth. Does anyone share that paranoia of like the detest of just material, cloth being in my mouth? If I'm eating a meat pie and a bit of meat falls out of the pie or with some sauce onto my shirt, I look down and just for a minute, or a nanosecond really, I look and I think I could lick that off. But then I think, no, I can't stand the idea of putting that cloth in my mouth. I'm just going to leave it. Everyone knows that I can't eat meat pies properly. But I can't stand the taste of cloth in my mouth. No one else. Okay, just me. Wisdom cannot stand the taste of perversion and lies. Even little ones can't stand it, hates it. It's repulsive to wisdom. Wisdom is upright and true and noble. And wisdom says, choose me as your advisor. And here's why. Look at verse 10. She says, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. There's a challenge, isn't there? There's nothing that you desire can compare with wisdom. Wisdom says, I'm here. I'm ready. I want you to re-employ me. I want you to come and listen to me, and you cannot get any better than what I have to offer, says wisdom. Well, okay, we've seen the resumes come in. She's put a few good points forward. She wants us to choose her as a good manager. But how do we know that we've found true wisdom? We might think, okay, I want wisdom, but how do I know that I've found this true wisdom that's there instead of a fake candidate? I think you can tell wisdom by the friends that she hangs out with. And so we're looking at her resume, at her references. Point two is about her references, and I think she has some super friends. Verses 12 to 21, let's pick up. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. Well, there's three super friends right there. Prudence, knowledge and discretion. They all go into a bar with wisdom and they hang out. They love it. They love each other. Every human can do with these influences in their life, can't they? Being cautious, being well advised, having truth instead of fake news. You know, it's said that wisdom is the right use of knowledge. And so here we have not just knowledge, but discretion, how to use that knowledge. And so wisdom, prudence, knowledge and discretion are all friends, and if you're in that company, you're on the right track to wisdom. But there are things that repel wisdom, a type of personality that wisdom hates, and that's in verse 13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. These are definitely friends. These are definitely people that wisdom does not hang around and doesn't befriend. Evil, pride, arrogance, perverse speech. You know, would you rather have those friends? Are they the sort of friends you like to hang around? If they repulse you too, then you are friends with wisdom. Now, we want to leave their company behind and turn to more of wisdom's friends. Look at verse 14. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight and I have power. That word power is the ability to do things, profitable, to make things happen. There's some more friends of wisdom. Wisdom is a great wingman, a wonderful counselor, and to top it all off, have a look at verse 20. Who else hangs out around with wisdom? I walk in the way of righteousness and along the paths of justice. Righteousness and justice. You know, wisdom is part of the Justice League. And again, I don't know if this is my age, but back in the 80s, there was the Super Friends, Superman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman. I know they're popular in your day too, but they were the cartoons on Saturday morning. They were the Justice League and the Super Friends. And that was awesome. And here's the Super Friends of wisdom. So we've heard the cry of wisdom. You can't go past me. And we've looked at her friends to identify what type of personality does wisdom have, and how do we know her by her friends? Well, my next question is, where does wisdom, you know, get her wisdom from? What made wisdom? What's the essence of wisdom? And so we want to actually look at wisdom's experience. And wisdom says in verses 22 to 31, I know how this world works. I know it. I know how this world works. Now, in this section, verses 22 to 31, three times wisdom says, I was. I was, dot, dot, dot. I was. It's there in verse 23, verse 27, and verse 30. So I'm going to look at those three I was's to hear the experience of wisdom. The first one, I was formed first. I was formed first. I'm going to read to you from verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there was no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he, God, made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth. Wisdom was formed first. Wisdom was formed from God. That's an important thing. That God brought wisdom forth. But it wasn't man that brought wisdom forth. In fact, wisdom was there before the creation of mankind. Did you notice that wisdom was formed before the dust of the earth was formed? And if you remember, we just looked at Genesis 1, 2, and 3 last week, and we heard that mankind came from the dust. So wisdom comes before dust, dust becomes man. If you know paper, rock, scissors, you know that wisdom wins. Wisdom was there first. But the point really is that wisdom does not grow up in us with age and experience. Wisdom isn't created by our own life's journey of trial and error and self-guided tuition. Wisdom doesn't grow up from mankind, not this type of wisdom, not this grand wisdom that we're talking about. It's not from trial and error, it's from listening. Verse 6 was what wisdom said, listen to me. And so young people and old people alike are to listen to God, to listen to God with the wisdom that he made from the beginning and that is found in the scriptures. You know, it's not correct, it's not a fact, it's not mandatory that all old people are wise and all young people are fools. It doesn't work that way. You can have plenty of old fools and you can have young wise people. What makes them wise is not the time they've spent on earth and their experience, but their exposure to the Word of God and their listening to it and therefore applying to it. And so, if you have a wise young person, the chances are they're going to be very wise when they get old. But they're listening to the Word of God and they're conforming their minds to God's mind. So the first I was is that I was formed first. Then I was there during creation. I was there during creation. Verse 27. I was there when God set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, I was constantly there at his side. You see that when God was willing this world into being, you know, the language in Genesis 1 is God saying, let there be. He speaks and it happens, but the language is let there be. Let it be. It's his will that these things happen and that they happen in exactly these ways. And when God is willing it into action, wisdom is there. I take it that wisdom flows from the will of God. Wisdom flows from the very will of God, the very mind of God. The creation of the world was made with understanding. It was made with knowledge. It was made with prudence and discretion and sound counsel, insight and power. Those same things that describe wisdom, describe the mind of God and the actions of God. You know, that same wisdom that comes from before the creation of the world, that same wisdom cries out to us tonight to listen. To listen to me. Romans chapter 12, Paul writes these words to the church in Rome. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't be conformed to the way that this world is going. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, it's through understanding and listening to the Word of God that we can understand the mind of God and have wisdom, possess wisdom. And so we're not We are to bring our minds into conformity with the will of God and the mind of God, not with the will of mankind and the will of mankind. And there's an end result here, actually. It's not just do it because, well, the invitation's there, but there's actually benefit for us, and it's that we can enjoy God. So we move to the third, I was. It's in verse 30. I was filled with delight. Verse 30. Then I was constantly at his side. That's God. Wisdom is constantly at God's side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. There's a image there of frolicking and joy and dancing and music and fun and laughter. Wisdom and this world are meant to get along. Wisdom and this world are meant to be. It's what we were made for. Wisdom rejoices in all the things that God did, including the creation of mankind. Now, in the beginning, I imagine if we could go back in time and see it, or witness it, or hear it, or something, somehow capture it, we could possibly see this personified wisdom laughing and playing in the world that God has made, and beaming with joy, ear to ear, with joy, with people, with the people that God has made. You see, wisdom enjoys everything that God does. Wisdom enjoys everything that God does. The thing that's out of place in this world is evil deeds, perversion, pride, arrogance, all those things that were listed that wisdom hates. This world rejects that as well, wants to reject that. It doesn't fit in this world. It doesn't fit. Wisdom has no joy in these things, and neither should we. And yet that's exactly who this world wants to employ. Foolishness, pride, and arrogance. We in this world are made for wisdom, says verse 31, and yet we're rejecting it. Wisdom doesn't promise you riches and treasures and wealth in this world, but the fruit of wisdom is joy and delight in God, as we know the world that God has made and the God who made it. And actually, wisdom gives us real life. And here's wisdom's closer. As we look at the resume that God put in, as we look at wisdom's resume, we see that the bottom line is that wisdom says, if you're with me, you're with life. But if you're without me, you're for death. Look at verse 32. Wisdom says, listen. She said, listen in verse 6. She says it again in verse 32. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't disregard it. Like a mother speaking to her dear children, wisdom says, come and sit next to me. Come and sit down and listen. Don't run away from home. Don't go off and make a bright start for yourself as if you know better than me. The world around you is disregarding the voice of wisdom and choosing to hire an unqualified, inexperienced, proud fool. Well, wisdom has put in her resume on the table and says, with me, find life. Have a look at verse 35. For those who find me find life and receive favour from the Lord. You know, wisdom from God doesn't equal death and boredom and an old-fashioned dogma. Wisdom from God is real life and joy in the Lord. Find wisdom and you find life. But without me, says wisdom, don't hire me. Go on with life without me. You're unsafe. It's an unsafe practice. Look at verse 36. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. It's a grand way to end the chapter, isn't it? Failure is hiring human wisdom to run your life. Failure is hiring human wisdom to run your life. We can't pretend that we have wisdom greater than this, that trumps this. We can't pretend that. But friends, this is exactly what we attempted to do all the time, is to throw away the wisdom of God and adopt the wisdom of this world. Being honest, aren't we drawn towards the silver, the choice gold, and the rubies? Isn't that what attracts our attention? To click on the most attractive headline on our media feeds? Don't we want the easy path rather than the right path? I mean, if the right path was easy, that'd be great. But don't we want to always choose easy over right all the time? And friends, don't you feel the weight of surrendering to the way of this world and throwing in this ancient wisdom from God? And being honest, I wonder, even if we want to employ wisdom in our life, this wisdom that's handed her resume in, even if we want to give her the job, we tend to give her only a part-time job and not the full thing. Well, here's the good news, friends. As much as we want to employ God's wisdom in our life and we fail, it's a joy and no surprise to remember that Jesus employed wisdom completely and utterly. It's no surprise to know that Jesus walked with wisdom, with counsel, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 11, predicting the coming of Jesus. Isaiah 11 says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." That's Jesus. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will have counsel and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Jesus didn't fail. Jesus walked perfectly in God's wisdom. Now, I don't know about you, as I read Proverbs 8, heard it read tonight, etc., I was so tempted to just conclude that this chapter is about Jesus. But this is a personification of wisdom. Wisdom isn't a person. This is as if wisdom was a person, this is what they would say. And it's tempting to read Jesus into this chapter because, well, Jesus adopted wisdom completely in his life, walking with God all the way, choosing the hard path, not the easy, the right path, not the easy. Because, in fact, when we describe Jesus in John 1, he's described as the Word of God, the very mind of God, the voice of God become in the flesh. And it's with wisdom that Jesus listened and obeyed the will of God. You know, choosing what is right over what is easy. It was to overcome our failure, our temptation to only semi-employ wisdom or even completely reject wisdom, and rather to adopt pride, arrogance, and perverse speech. Those things that do draw us from time to time. It was to overcome our failure that Jesus Christ, in God's wisdom, was sent into the world to save sinners. And we actually find that it's the cross of Christ, Jesus coming to earth and dying on the cross, that is described by Paul as the wisdom of God. It's foolishness to mankind, the cross of Christ, but to God, that's wisdom. The same wisdom that created the world is the same wisdom that sent a Saviour to save the world. Now, our world is employing a different, inexperienced wisdom, and it's unsafe to do that. But today we're reminded and called to listen to the wisdom that made us and the wisdom that made the world and the wisdom which sent Jesus into the world. The one and only wise one is Jesus. The one and only wise one to give us the wisdom of the cross. But friends, our message to this world is not look at the wisdom that we've got. Our message to this world is look to God's wisdom, look to Christ, and look to the cross of Christ, so that Paul could write to 1 Corinthians, to the church in Corinthians, and say, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The wisdom of God, as I've said, is the cross of Christ. And for you and I who confess that we fail to walk that path with wisdom, we fail to listen to wisdom in our life, we know that God has given us a Saviour, the wise one who would obey, who is obedient to God the Father, even to death on the cross. So let me reread to you the last verse of Proverbs 8. "For those who find wisdom, find life and receive favour from the Lord." That's joyful. "But those who fail to find wisdom harm themselves, and all who hate wisdom love death. It's pretty clear what we need to do, isn't it? Let me pray for us as we confess that we don't always follow wisdom and listen to wisdom, but thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Lord, thank you for the reminder that you offer to us free of charge that same wisdom that was with you at the beginning of the world. And Lord, we are often drawn to think that we know better than you, that we can live life without you, that we can put you on the side bench and do life perfectly well without you. But we're reminded in Proverbs 8 that true life, life with joy and peace with God, is found only by listening to wisdom. Lord, help us to work, to live and walk in good counsel with prudence and knowledge and understanding. And Lord, we thank you for the knowledge of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, fill our hearts and our minds with that, with the knowledge of the gospel and with the wisdom and understanding that comes from your Spirit by your word. Help us, Lord, to live lives worthy of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.